It's been about a week of that now, so I don't really know. I don't really know. Hey, everybody. Glad to be here. Have been listening since church this morning when Karen started with our meditation on our lesson for the day. And for those of us in the Gentle Healing Group, that lesson, I think, for today is I Have What Have Me Fill. And, forgiveness is my function. And so we have been reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul. And last week, we started in the section from Joel S. Goldsmith, entitled Soul. And that comes, in chapter 3. Les Goldsmith has a book called The Infinite Way, and so what I've been sharing from Experience Your Perfect Soul are the direct path quotes that Michael Langford has chosen for us. And so last week we had started on page 80, shared with you that Nirmala had also briefly spoken about the idea of soul. And so I asked him again, Nirmala, I asked him this week if he could briefly share with me again what his definition of soul is. And he did go back over that, and I took a few notes just to be sure that I was correct or not in my sharing. And now that I'm sitting here, I can't find the little sheet with my notes. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Got it. And he was saying that for him, soul is the sum total of all your experiences. That it's enriched, the soul is enriched by every experience. And that, over time, the soul becomes more discriminating of experiences, advances, but is open to all experiences. He says it's a choiceless choice that brings it greater growth for peace and love. And he says over time you notice the unimportant experiences as you become wise and more discriminating so that you have richer, more nourishing experiences, those that bring the greater growth for peace and love. And he says, falling into this true nature is effortless. So that was some sharing, excuse me, that Nirmala repeated for me when I asked him the question about his simple definition of soul. So we left off actually at the top of page 86, but I'm thinking that I'm just going to go back and read right from the beginning of this section called Soul, and that starts on page 84. So the soul is a part of man which is little known and only seldom realized. Often those in the depths of some deep sorrow break through the mist of material sense to the recesses of their innermost being, where they discover the soul or reality of being. They become soul conscious and find new values, new resources, new and different strengths, and an existence of an entirely different nature. The exercise of the soul faculties results in breaking the illusions of sense. All human discords are products of material sense and are experienced through the five physical senses, that is, all mortal inharmonies are seen, heard, felt, tasted,
or smelled, existing only in this material state of consciousness, discords have their being merely as false sense or illusion, though naturally seeming very real to the senses. Complete and final destruction of error comes only through the achievement and exercise of the faculties of the soul. The soul is that part of man which lies buried deepest within him and is therefore seldom realized. Within the reach of our own consciousness lies the soul and its faculties. Those too busy with the pains and the pleasures of sense will not, of course, reach the realm of soul. Throughout the ages, the invitation has been extended to mankind to drink of this fountain of living waters. And every generation has produced many men and women who have found eternal youth and peace within themselves. Every so often, one arises who has drunk more deeply at the fount of soul. And these seers have told of the kingdom within and of the life that may be lived through grace when this consciousness is achieved. On the other hand, many answer that they have great human duties which occupy all their time. Others require so much time for sense pleasures, pastimes, and recreation. Still others are immersed in accomplishing and acquiring. And that's where we actually left off last week. So this is the beginning of page 86, Experience Your Perfect Soul, for anyone who would like to read along. So some greater power then can be found in the human body or thought. Hang on just a second. Some greater power than can be found in the human body or thought must be tapped to give us the happiness and harmony and peace that are our birthright. This power is available to everyone because it is already a part of our being. In fact, it is the greatest part of our being. Everyone may have access to the soul. It lies deep within the recesses of our own being. Desire for the higher attainments of life is the first requisite, and then must follow a continuous turning within until the goal has been attained. And I'm going to pause there because and I'm going to use the word sense. My sense is that the I, the personal I of, you know, the false identity, Kathy, has nothing to do with, or no active participation as in, thinking or conjuring up or imagining or figuring out or, you know, in any kind of thinking at all that wants to get involved in this higher attainment or this goal of realizing myself, my soul, my truth. It has nothing to do with thinking. This is simply asking me to continuously turn within. You know, if there's that desire to know in direct experience this soul or this perfection or this intimate recognition of my truth, which is your truth as well, I must turn within and do nothing more than that. That's it. Just turn within. There's nothing after that to add. There's no fluff after that. That's all I'm asked to do. And it will reveal itself without my help. So the song of the soul, the song of the soul is freedom, joy, and eternal bliss. The song of the soul is love to all mankind. The song of the soul is you. So Cheryl shares in the room, thank you for reading this, Kathy. I have had a conversation with Sarah, and Sarah is her daughter. Last night, she mentioned she does not believe she is or has a soul. I had no idea what to say. I was left with just going within and be silent. Yes. And every belief, be it the belief that I don't have a soul, the belief in lack, the belief that I'm separate, any belief. I mean, take any belief we hold in the mind, in the world. It's a lie. It's untrue. And so it's always good to go within and be silent and to ask, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? I don't know. Truly, I don't know. Error is not real. There is no matter. Since the substance of matter is really mind. And that's what Jacqueline spoke to this morning. For all the seeming, you know, hoopla that seems to be going on in the world. And for her, it took, you know, a simple form, something as simple as, you know, expressing a statement to her husband about, you know, going to brunch and his reply, and there was an interpretation immediately going on. And so we know with that ego was immediately involved with Jacqueline interpreting it one way, Tom interpreting it another way, and therein lies the conflict, which seems to manufacture a gap or a space or a division between this husband and wife who love each other. And there seems to be that picture of a temporary misunderstanding that the attention gets really focused on and bent out of shape over and seems to make very much bigger than it really is. And those are those opportunities where, you know, we can just have that little inkling where, hey, you know, something's off here, and I can stop
right now and not give it any more energy because I'm recognizing the upset within myself, or I'm recognizing the upset within my husband, or I'm recognizing something is out of kilter. Therefore, I must be in my, you know, I must, it must be my responsibility to look at what's going on in my own mind, right now, not what seems to be the matter outside of myself. Not the words, you know, not the story, not the reaction, not the look on your face, not the tone you used, not the tone I used, and none of that. There is no matter. There is no problem. Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. Let me recognize the problem has been solved. And like Jacqueline shared this morning, it's always going on in my own mind. The whole world is going on in my own mind. So again, error. It's simply an error. Error is not real. You know, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So error is not real. There is no matter. Since the substance of matter is really mind. Spiritual consciousness does not overcome or destroy matter or material conditions, but knows that no such conditions exist which the finite sense presents. You know, that, that limited sense of self, that mind that perceives lack, will experience external to itself in some pictured form, some form of matter. It will see on the movie screen an experience of that belief. And it says spiritual consciousness, which is always restful, always welcoming of every experience, no matter how it appears. It says that consciousness doesn't try to overcome, you know, an unhappy experience, or, you know, what we might call an upset. It doesn't try to destroy that. It doesn't try to change the material condition, because it knows nothing other than itself, which is only love. It remains spiritual consciousness as the consciousness of only love. So it knows that none of those conditions need to be seemingly overcome, destroyed, or changed, because they don't really exist. There really isn't any matter. There really isn't any substance to any of it. There is no existence to this finite sense, which we seem to then, you know, that lesson from A Course in Miracles, my thoughts are images I have made.
that finite sense presents an image that is that reinforcement of the false belief that keeps us in that closed loop that Jacqueline also referred to this morning. What I think I see, what I see I experience, and what I experience, I just think about a whole lot more. Unless I stop and inquire into my emotion. Am I this emotion? Am I this feeling? Am I this thought? Is this the truth? Do I know this to be absolutely true? Who is the I that is noticing this thought? And the second piece of that is, now turn and look at that one who is noticing this thought and rest there. Rest in that attention. Looking away from the noticing, you know, of the wacky thought and just cutting that thought off or that thought stream, or maybe it's already a story, a full-blown story, knock it off. And notice that you're noticing that thought, you're noticing that story, and turn that attention back on itself. Let me grab a quick drink of water here. I mean, why would I not want to engage in that practice? I mean, think about it. Because if I'm noticing the story, or I'm noticing the thought, whatever it might be, generally we have some sense of whether it's an angry thought or a sad thought or, you know, a judgmental thought or whatever it might be. And so we have the experience of that, and it's not so great. Why would we want to keep that? I mean, really, why would we want to keep that? Why would we not want to do this practice where we actually are like, okay, I already know what this experience feels like, and it's not great. And so I have a willingness to notice the one that noticed the thought, and now I'm going to engage in this new practice of turning that attention around 180 degrees and just resting with, you know, something that maybe doesn't feel as familiar, but I'm willing to do that because I don't like what I already know. It's not that great. And I do want to know this self. I do want to know the fullness of this love. I do want to know that unchangeableness, that calm, that silence, that quiet, that stillness. I want to know that in direct experience, in every circumstance, no matter what. I want to know. Yeah. Okay, so again, spiritual consciousness does not overcome or destroy matter or material conditions, but knows that no such conditions exist which the finite sense presents. It translates the appearance for us, revealing the true nature of that which is appearing. There you go. It does the work for us. We don't have to do anything. That's what, you know, that section in A Course, I Need Do Nothing, means to me. I don't have anything to do with the revealing. I stay with the I don't know. Spiritual power emanates from the soul of you and the soul of me. It is impersonal and impartial. Everyone may open the windows of his soul and behold the infinite glories of a world far above the universe of sense. Far greater than anything we have ever seen or heard is the world of the soul, the world that is seen through spiritual sense. We know that unillumined thought beholds the universe as material, whereas the illumined consciousness or soul sense sees and understands the universe as spiritual. And often, I guess for me, it's literally like a felt sense. There's just this generally tears of joy for me. And joy is, joy is one of those words that I have a love-hate relationship with still. I prefer, even though it comes out, I prefer, I don't know. Joy just seems, like at the top of the chart. And, that's not my direct experience at the top of the chart. I have momentary experiences that don't seem to last. And so when that happens, it's pretty hard to miss it because for me, I cry. And it's almost like somebody, you know, turns a faucet on and there's no, there doesn't seem to be any way to like shut it up, right away. Which is fine. yeah. And it's a wonderful experience. So, there's no complaint in that, but sometimes I'm surprised by it, so that's kind of nice too. You know, those instances where maybe even something as silly as, not silly, I say that, but there's a television show that occasionally my husband likes to watch, and it's called Undercover Boss, and I'm sure some of you may have seen it. Or like a CEO of a company, a famous corporation will go undercover to the various operations of his company and see how the different departments are operating, how people are treating the customers, how things are working. And so sometimes people share their stories, and the expressions of just people's lives and their stories and the highs and lows, the ups and downs, the grace, their how love endures, how many ways it's expressed. My husband and I often cry when we watch that show, and to me, that is that is the self expressing itself in what seems to be a personal way. You know, on a TV show that some might say is a waste of time, but not for me in that particular instance. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful every time I see that love show itself in a material sense. Yeah, it's sweet. And I recognize it. And I'm always grateful. Yeah. Okay. Back to the reading. There is nothing impractical. Hang on, let me just backtrack and see if I am skipping anything. Okay, again, we know that unillumined thought beholds the universe as material, whereas the illumined consciousness or soul sense sees and understands the universe as spiritual. There is nothing impractical about the development of our spiritual sense or soul powers. Spiritual consciousness lifts us above every form of limitation and permits us to enter a larger sense of life and freedom. Where there is spiritual consciousness, there is no bondage to person, place, or thing, and there are no limitations to our accomplishments. Yes, spiritual consciousness is practical. Meditation is the door to the realm of the soul, and inspiration is the way. As we learn to take 5 or 10 minutes each morning, noon, and night to sit quietly with a listening ear, as we turn within ourselves and learn to wait for the still, small voice, we acquire the habit of meditation and develop the skill in its technique until inspiration possesses us and leads us to the haven of our soul. This is the beginning of our new birth. And here we learn the new tongue of spirit. Life begins to have a new meaning.
Yeah, beautiful. That was the end of that particular piece on the soul. And this next piece, I like this learn the new tongue of spirit. I like that. Whereas we sit quietly with a listening ear, learning to wait for the still small voice, for that inspiration that possesses us, that leads us to the haven, that word haven, that sense of a safe place, the haven of our own soul. That's the beginning of a new birth. That beginning that was talked about, you know, on the previous page, where to any person, to any place, to any limitations for what we can accomplish, because we're developing that spiritual sense where the soul powers are given. We don't have to do anything. We just turn within ourselves, waiting, listening, staying with the meditation, developing the skill that comes with that habit of meditation. And from that, and through that, we become the channel for the new tongue of spirit, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Yeah. And then it says, you know, the last line, life begins to have a new meaning, a new meaning. Not a meaning that I'm painting on it with my own particular, you know, paintbrush, through thought, it's a brush stroke that's given from inspiration, so okay, this new little piece, and it's only a half a page long, on page 88. Eight is my favorite number. Meditation. So in the spiritual tongue, meditation is prayer. If we do not open our consciousness to receive spiritual understanding, we must not be surprised if we do not experience spiritual good in our daily living. Feel the infinity of good within you, which is the evidence of your oneness with the infinite source of your being. So again, feel the infinity of good within you, which is the evidence of your oneness. So if I'm not feeling good, that might be my first clue that I'm out of alignment, and simply realign. That's all. In the awareness, watching awareness meditation instructions, which Karen Worth has recorded and I use most every day, those instructions clearly, tell us, if I notice thought, turn away from the thought. If I notice a story, turn away from the story. If I notice a distraction, turn away from the distraction. Same thing here. If I notice an emotion, a feeling, you know, certainly notice it, That's the first step. Otherwise, it just plays out and keeps going and going and going and going, you know, to a place that we say we don't really want to go, but we allow it to go by not noticing. So this is asking us to feel the infinity of good within you. That's that attention that's been through meditation and through practice and through the habit of turning away from the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions. We're turning towards that awareness, which is silent, still, quiet, unadorned, unfluffed up, empty. You know, when I think of the word empty in relation to awareness, awareness is empty. Empty, it means there's nothing there, nothing. And that's mind-boggling. It's just empty. You know, my mind wants to say, you're asking me to turn towards complete emptiness when my attention has been mostly trained on the exact opposite. And so it seems so absolutely foreign to get excited over complete emptiness without, you know, without, and this is speaking me personally, without a, you know, ongoing direct experience of what that really means. And that's where this you know, waiting, learning to wait, having faith, being patient, sticking with it, staying there, no matter what is going on in the mind. And dropping those thoughts immediately. Because again, this is saying to us, if we don't open our consciousness to receive the spiritual understanding, you know, if we continue on with the consciousness that's focused outward, focused on the feelings, the thoughts, the things, the stuff, the worries, the problems, the, you know, the mortal sense, the sense, the physical senses. This is saying to us, don't be surprised if you don't experience the spiritual good in your daily living. That's not what you're going to see because your consciousness is somewhere else. How could you see it? You know, it doesn't like bop you on the head and say, notice me. It just doesn't. It's up to me to turn my attention. Something is noticing everything. Turn my attention there. And so this is asking us now to feel that infinity of good within you, which is the evidence of your oneness. So when we're feeling in alignment, when we're feeling peaceful, when we're feeling grounded, when we're feeling in love, when we're looking through that awareness, the eyes that are looking at this page, the ears that are listening, the tongue that is speaking, is using that infinity of good, that infinite source of your being to share honest thought. That's, you know, one of the things A Course in Miracles talked about, I believe it was in the lesson, in the name of God is my inheritance. I think it was talking about let your mind fly to the honest thoughts. It knows the way. Let it go. Let it go there without your help. So, okay, I see it's 11:20. I'm going to take another quick drink of water. Are you guys all with me? Have you fallen asleep? Yes and no.
Oh, that's honest, Becky. Oh, my. I'm always speaking to myself.
So this piece is called Prayer. And again, the previous section just said in the spiritual tongue, meditation is prayer. Yeah. So this piece, it's on page 89. So conscious awareness of our true being, of the infinite nature and character of our only being. This too is prayer. It is our conscious awareness of the oneness of being, the oneness of life, truth, love, that results in answered prayer. So it is our conscious awareness of the oneness of being that results in answered prayer. So again, we could say, and this is me saying this, I'll go back to the meditation section, the second paragraph. If we do not open our consciousness to receive spiritual understanding, that results in unanswered prayer. And it's not that the prayer has not been answered, but it's that we have made a shadow or created a fog or a mist over the answer by not opening ourselves up to the consciousness that looks away from external and goes within. It redirects the habitual tendency to look outside and goes within. But this tells us if we're consciously aware of the oneness of being, consciously aware of the oneness of life, consciously aware of the truth, consciously aware of love, you know, however you want to think of that, whichever one of those words feels comfy to you, or is that, you know, that reminder, I need to be conscious of this instead. You know, when we notice ourselves off track and we can say, oh, you know, I seem to be conscious of somebody arguing and, you know, wanting to judge that. Instead, I can be conscious of the truth. I can look beyond the error. And you know what? That's going to result in a different picture for me. It's going to answer that prayer that the bottom line is I want to see the truth of who they are, which is a reflection of the truth of who I am in any situation, in any problem. That's what I'm really asking for instead. And my conscious awareness of that intention as I think Jacqueline spoke to this morning, I think it was Jacqueline that spoke to, you know, setting that intention and remembering that intention results in an answered prayer, a prayer of union, a prayer of joining, a prayer of seeing my brother as myself. That which, and this is all in italics, guys, that which I am seeking, I am. That which I am seeking, I am. There comes a time in our experience when spiritual inspiration reveals to individual consciousness a state of being free of mortal conditions and beliefs. Then we no longer live a life of mental affirmations and denials, but rather receive constant unfoldments of truth from consciousness. Sometimes this comes through no other channel than our own thought. It may come through a book, or a lecture, or a service imparted by divine consciousness. Regardless of the seeming channel through which it may come, it is the divine consciousness revealing itself to individual consciousness. And that was the end of that section on prayer. So it is our conscious awareness of the oneness of being that results in answered prayer. Conscious awareness of our true being. This too is prayer. Regardless of the seeming channel through which it may come, it is the divine consciousness revealing itself to individual consciousness. Okay, I am not going to begin the next section because it's quite long. Just so you know, we started again on page 84. We did some backtracking. We were supposed to start on the top of page 86, but I don't think you guys mind when I backtrack. I did not have much commentary at all. It's really a review for myself and hopefully for you guys as well. I will be beginning on page 90 in the section called Wisdoms of the Infinite Way from Joel S. Goldsmith, his book called The Infinite Way. That's where all of these quotes come from that Michael Langford selected for us, direct path quotes. And they've been put into this book that we've been enjoying called Experience Your Perfect Soul. It's a joyful path to self-realization. So, yes, I read from page 84 to 89, and we will begin on page 90. Thanks for joining with me, everybody,
and I am going to be giving up the mic and probably going to my phone. So I look forward to listening to the rest of you guys. Thanks. Have a great miracle-filled day. See ya.